Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We're talking about personality. God has designed you, He's created you, He's given you a particular personality. That personality is likely a lot like some people that you know. And it is also likely to be very different from other people that you know. You might find yourself at the table and thinking, I'm the only one like me here. And that's possibly true at that table in that setting. But there are others like you because there's only a certain number of personalities that are out there. But we also know that you have been given a personality so that God can use you. So that you can flourish in your talents, your gifts, your abilities, and express those in certain ways. Now, our idea today is not trying to categorize you. Our idea is to help you identify, and we'll talk about the reasons why that's helpful. So the first exercise, you see those two boxes on your page there? Everybody got one of those papers? All right. That first box, here's what you're supposed to write in it. If you already wrote in the boxes, you either know what's happening, or maybe, I don't know. All right, here we go. Write your name in the first box. Write your name in the first box, all right? Shouldn't take long. You've written your name before. All right, everybody through? You got there? Leanne, you got there? You with me? She's like, I don't like this, Pastor. I know something's going to happen. All right, now, what I would like you to do is switch hands and write your name in the second box with your off hand. Jenna, it looks like you're left out. Here you go. Let me get you some paper there. With your other hand. How's that going? How's that working out? How's that working out? Ah. That one's a little shaky. A little shaky. All right, how'd it go, Sam? Wow, I didn't do bad there. A little different there. All right. Okay, so when you wrote that, here's what happened. And those answers are right next to you there. Was that a little bit uncomfortable to write? Was that awkward, right? It was kind of like, oh, I'm trying. You had to think real hard, right? Had to like concentrate, right? Work at it. It took extra time and effort, right? Because the first one with the dominant hand, you just blah, 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 right? You just threw that out there, and the other one was like, anybody else see anybody else's tongue sticking out as they did it? Like, right here? Okay. Don't tell on your wife. Okay. Working real hard at that, right? So it took extra time and effort, and you maybe got some poor results. Some of you guys did all right. Who did really? You're just like, wow, this is embarrassing. How awful this was. Okay, she admitted. All right, anybody else who's like, wow, that was pretty bad? Is that English? Okay. All right. All right. So with extra time, with extra effort, with extra attention, you came up with a less worthy product, right? Because you're doing something out of your comfort zone, you're stretching, you're not playing to your strength. You're dealing from weakness, right? Now, there's something biblical about being able to deal from weakness, but there's also something stupid about operating from weakness all the time, right? It's foolish. God has given you abilities in certain areas. It's important that you operate in those and identify those, right? So that you're not just struggling through life fighting, man, this is so hard. This is so difficult. Why is this? I'm struggling so hard. Because maybe you're not using the way God has created you to the way it could be used. Does that make sense to everybody? So understanding your personality, the reason this is important, the reason we're taking some time on this today, is because if you understand your personality, you're going to help realize your tendencies, the natural tendencies that you have, and how you typically interact with people. You're going to recognize that. You're going to see if you're a super people person, then people interactions are going to be easy for you, right? And then If you're not a people person, if you're a task-oriented person, and it's like, man, I'm all about the job, just give me the work to work on, that kind of thing. Don't make me talk to people. Don't make me get up in front. Just give me a shovel, man. Just let me get to work, right? And if that's your way, putting you up in front of people is going to be difficult. It's going to cause you stress. It's going to cause you're going to work extra hard. You're going to strive an extra bit of effort because you're going to be trying to overcome where maybe you're naturally not gifted. You're going to be trying to make up for that. Does that make sense? So it's important to identify that because it'll help you realize your tendencies and how you typically interact with people. When you're in a group setting with people, some of you are just going to be the life of the party. Who are those people? Raise your hand. You know who you are. You're like, look at me. Here I am. I'm in the room, right? It happens. Now, who are those people who are like, please place me on the wall, I am the flower, right? Don't look at me, I don't exist. You didn't see anything, right? You just, right? So you when you recognize those things, now here's what I want to challenge you with as your pastor as well, okay? I want you to understand that it doesn't mean you just go hide in your shell if you're an introverted person. Because God, no matter how introverted you are, no matter how project you are on your mind versus people, you are still designed for relationship. That's how God made you. You have eyes, ears, you have a tongue, you have ability to communicate and interact. So you are still designed and created for relationship. You're just going to relate a little differently than maybe somebody else on the other end of the scale. In fact, you're going to relate really well with other people who are wired like you are. And that's the other blank here as well. Help you realize this is the reason understanding your personality is key. It'll help you realize that everyone else is not wired like you. It's important for me to recognize that. Because if I don't, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go through life frustrated at why so-and-so won't do that. Why won't they just do that? You ever seen somebody walk by trash and it just drove you crazy? You're just like, come on, just pick it. That's because you're the type of person, your personality says, I'm going to do something about this. And theirs is like, oh, wow, look over here. And they didn't even notice it. It's not in their wiring. They're wired differently than you. And praise God, because we only need one you. You only need one me, right? We're wired differently. We are different individuals, and there's going to be things that trip your trigger that do nothing for somebody else. But at the same time, there's going to be things that you couldn't care less about that somebody else is going to appreciate and thrive in. So it's important to recognize that everybody's not wired like me. So I can't get angry when they don't do it all just the way I do it. Even my driving. Right? I can't get mad when everybody doesn't drive just like me. It's probably a safer world because everyone doesn't drive like me. Okay? But I can't assume for everybody else that they're wired and they're processing everything the same way I am. Have you ever had one of those moments where you found out the other side of the story? Where you thought you had this whole thing figured out and you were pretty ticked off at somebody because they didn't, whatever. And then you found out the rest of the story and you understood why it was they didn't do that. And then you felt about this big, right? Like, oh, my bad. I should have kept my mouth shut, right? Because we need to recognize it's helpful for us to understand that I am not wired like everybody else. I cannot expect everyone else to behave and respond exactly like me because my personality is different. My abilities are different. My heart and passion is different. My spiritual gifts are different. My experiences, we'll talk about that next week. My personal experiences are different. Therefore, I cannot assume that you see the same thing I do. I've got to assume that we are wired differently, and so I've got to communicate clearly, and I've got to be understanding to realize that your personality is different than mine, and yours is just as valid as mine. It's not like yours is the Walmart version, and I've got the Target version, right? That blessed Brooke really greatly. She just Target's up here, and Walmart is down here. Anyway, so this isn't like yours is the cheapo, and mine is the good. Yours is the leftover, and mine is the priority. That's not what it is. We just have different personalities, and it's okay. Jesus surrounded himself with disciples that had different personalities. We need the whole team. We discussed this a few weeks ago talking about spiritual gifts, and I told you my wonderful score in mercy, right? Okay, maybe you didn't remember that. My mercy score was like, wah, really low. That's just, I'm not wired that way. I'm more like cut and dry. This is kind of how it is. Go to Lowe's, get a ladder, and get over it. That's kind of my mindset on a lot of things. So I understand that I'm low in mercy, but as a leader of a team, I need to make sure I've got mercy people on my team. Why? Because there needs to be some mercy here at Central Assembly, right? Right? And so Chad is our mercy staff member. Chad scores high in mercy, and me and Pastor Jerry are like, shut up and get over it. And he was like, I'm so sorry. Tell me about that. You know, anyway, so we need that on our team. We need our whole, because we'll talk about this at the very end, but we are a complementary body. Where you are strong in this, I'll be weak in that, because that's your strength and you'll thrive there. Where I'm strong in this, it might be a weakness of yours, but together we are complete. Just like throwing a dismembered hand on the table here, thunk. And you pick up this hand and it's not really any good on its own, is it? But you attach that to a living body and make it working and functional, all of a sudden it's really powerful. It's useful, right? But it needs the rest of the body. Okay, so whatever your scores were on your personality test, however you came out of that process, don't feel like you failed. You can't fail it. It's what you are, and it's okay because you belong here. You fit as part of this body. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a couple minutes here in discussion. We're going to set a timer on the clock so you guys know it's going to end soon, okay? But let me do this before we do that. How many of you, you took the personality test and your scores came out? We had those four animals, the lion, the otter, the golden retriever, and the beaver. And they had those different characteristics along with them. How many of you came out lions or strong in that area, okay? All right, you can identify the other lions in the room. Give me a little roar. Okay, all right. Now, what about the otters? Any otters in the room? Okay, there's a couple, yeah, otters. All right, I expected the otters to be like, hey, ha, ha, ha. Anyway, but yeah, okay. All right, so the otters are there. All right, what about the, what's the next one? The golden retrievers. Who's our golden retrievers in the room? Oh, they're so sweet. Look at them. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the golden retriever, that's a strength for you. That's important, right? And then what about the beavers? Any busy beavers in the room? A couple of you? All right. Now, if you're like, well, Pastor, why are you trying to throw me in a cage, man? This ain't a zoo. Well, it kind of is. But anyway, no, it's to recognize, do you see that we had hands on all four of those areas going up around the body, because we all need and complete and fulfill and help each other. We complement each other. Right? Okay, so take a few minutes, and if you've done that personality test, then you have those answers and you can talk about that. What was most accurate about you? And then how can being aware of your strengths and weaknesses and limitations help you? So you can walk through that a little bit together. Take a few minutes and go for that now. Go ahead. Lord, praise you, Lord. Say this with me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say it again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that today? That you just didn't happen. You're not an accident. You're not just a natural product of people's love or something like that. It's You are a supernatural creation of Almighty God. You have housed in you, where you stand or sit right now, you have housed in you what no amount of science or technology or money or ability can reproduce. The individual greatness and personality and heart and gifting and talent and passion and experience and everything that you are is a gift that God has given the world around you. And most of you don't believe that. Most of us, I'll put myself in the mix. Most of us don't believe that because we've either not measured up to somebody else's standard. We've not done something the way somebody else expected us to. We don't perform at this level or score that many points or do this many things or whatever. We're basing our value, our self-worth, on the opinions of other people who did not create us and do not know what we were created for. And so you need to know today that God has designed you for great things. Not me, Pastor. Stop. Stop it. Stop believing the lie that you're insignificant. Stop believing the lie that you're just another person and it doesn't really matter what you do. That's a lie that Satan is trying to keep you small and in a cage. But God wants to let you out. God wants to unleash what He's created in this world so they can see and know how great He is by what He's created in and through you. And if we squelch that, and if we believe a lie about that, then we short-circuit what God is trying to accomplish on this earth. And Satan wins that battle, but we're not going to have that today. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in the image of our Lord and Savior. You have a soul that is supernatural that cannot be scientifically understood, no matter how hard they try. You have a physical being. Just even the physical nature of us is so astounding. It's so incredible. It testifies to the greatness of God. And then the combination of those things. And then your mental ability. And the emotions that are a part of everything. It's just incredible. You are amazing. And don't let anybody tell you different. Don't let anybody tell you to settle for anything less than that. Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. Yeah, I don't. I might not know what you've been through, but I know God created you. And I know what He's put inside of you is worth it. He's invested that in you. So, Father God, I thank you for this body of believers today. I thank you that you have invested your ability and your power and your glory in these vessels, in these people that you have created. And Lord, I pray that the lies of Satan that try to keep us small and feeling insignificant, I believe that those, and I pray, God, that those would just melt away in the name of Jesus right now. We wouldn't fall for that lie, that trick, that deception, because everybody told me I was little this and baby Bradshaw that and small this and short that, and it does not matter in your economy because, God, you are in it. And through you, I can do all things. So the power of God Almighty vested in these vessels can accomplish anything, can accomplish exactly what Independence, Missouri needs. So God, we give you glory and we give you all the praise because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and say, you look good today. All right, now have a seat for a moment. Have a seat. Hopefully that was your spouse. Okay. All right. If you have one. If you don't have one, hey, the market's open. Whatever. Okay. All right. I want to just, as we wrap up today, we just got a few minutes left in this last leg of things this morning, and I just want to share with you a couple of biblical examples. If you probably already turned your attention there on this page, but that chart down in the bottom corner there, it's a bunch of words. I know that. But I also want you to understand that there's some pretty cool things about that chart that's going to help you self-identify and also understand the people that God has placed in your life. Okay? So if you are one of these lions in this upper left corner and your spouse is one of these golden retrievers in the bottom right corner, it doesn't mean you're wrong for each other. It just means you need to understand each other. And the things that you're worried about are not going to concern them. Right? And they're not wrong for that. Do we understand that, church? This is so powerful to recognize. This is so freeing and liberating to recognize there's a certain way I filter stuff, there's a certain way I process things, and then that's not going to be the same way everybody else does it. It's just not. Now, there's biblical standards. Yes, there's biblical precedents of behavior and principles and truth. And yes, that stuff, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about stuff that just, preference stuff that annoys you one way or the other. And you're going to have to recognize that you might be married to, you might have children who turn out exactly the opposite of you. And you can't figure out why in the world this doesn't matter to them. They're just wired differently. They're just wired, and it's not a sin on their part, right? They're just wired differently. Like, Pastor, bless God, they better be just like me. Well, we already got one of you. We need them. Amen? Amen. All right, so this is really also, for those of you who are married, this is wonderful premarital counseling material or mid-marital counseling material, okay? Late marital counseling material, early, just marital. It's marital counseling material, okay? To recognize that and process that. It's going to help you have mercy and understanding where you didn't. This chart can give a merciless person mercy. So they'll go, oh, well, that's clearly me. Look at that. I love the arrows. If you're geared more towards the top half of that, now if you're one of those split across the ways, then good luck with that. Sorry. But if you're one of those who's like both of yours, you're a beaver lion, which happens to be what my scores happen to be, then I can recognize that I'm going to be heavily focused on purpose and I'm going to be oftentimes less focused on people. You're like, oh, thanks, Pastor. But that might work out okay if I have to lead somewhere, right? If I have to stay on task or present a vision or a target, that might work out okay. If I can make sure we're on purpose, I just make sure I got Chad with me, right? Because Chad's going to be like, hey, guys, he's going over here. Come on, let's go. Okay, you know, so that's going to help us out because I'm gonna tend to be on that purpose side of things. And then there's others of you who are near the bottom half of that, and it's people, 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 people. And that's okay. That's necessary in the body of Christ, right? But I might not give you the task of organizing or leading, training something. I'm just going to have you in the midst of the people doing the thing, right? That's where we understand that. This sideways thing was pretty cool too. If you're on this side of the paper, you're more of an initiator. You're going to be a person who instigates or starts or brings stuff to the table. And if you're on this other side, you're going to be more of like, okay, this happened, now what do I do? Okay, this happened, now what do I do? What do I do? You're going to be a responder more than an initiator. And that's just, it's not that you're wrong. It's just you're different. And Jesus says, it's okay. You know what's kind of cool is that I see a lot of Jesus in all these personality traits. I think he might have been off the charts, so to speak. Right? But we're going to look real quick at a couple biblical examples that you see because you're like, well, Pastor, who am I supposed to be like? Because I saw this list of... Now, how many of you looked at your limitations? You printed that out and you looked at those limitations and you're like... yeah, look at that. I can't do this and I can't do that. And you just started rattling all that stuff off, right? Those are just things you need to be aware of so you can handle it appropriately. Okay? There's going to be things that you might not thrive in. You might have to work harder to get through some of those things. And that's okay. Okay? It doesn't mean you're incapable and now therefore you have a spiritual crutch to lean on and say, look at me, I can't do this, so don't ask me, Pastor. I don't have any people skills, so don't tell me to be nice to anybody. I'm just going to punch everyone I see. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? We'll get back to that in a moment. So let's look at a couple biblical examples. A lion, one of the ones that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul. Those words like mission and target, determined and demanding and direction, that sounds like Paul as he was leading. There was time when he and John Mark differed in their mission plan and he was like, forget it, let's just go different ways. You go that way, I'll go this way. He wasn't worried about John Mark. He was worried about the mission. Right? Because John Mark was already saved. He wanted to go reach the people who weren't saved. And so they parted directions. And so you see that Paul is, he falls into that line pretty easily there in that leadership, that dominant, that determined direction, demanding, the list that you see placed there. How about otters? Those of you who are otters in the room, the one biblical example, one of the biblical examples that come to my mind is Barnabas. Barnabas was the includer. He was the one that when the Apostle Paul used to be Saul, like the bad guy, the Christian hunter, okay? He became the Apostle Paul, and God gave him a new name, and God gave him a new identity, and he got a new mission. And so Paul changed missions, but the church wouldn't let him in because he was busy killing them most of the time. And Barnabas was the one who walked outside the gate and was like, "Paul, come on in." And they're like, "What, are you nuts? He's killing us." And Barnabas was like, "No, God changed his heart and he's good now. Come on in. He's with me." Barnabas is that people person, that smiling optimist. Any optimists in the room? Oh, Lord, help us. Okay, come on, optimists. Raise your hand a little bit because we need some. Okay, good, good, good. If we don't have optimists, this is a dark day and nothing's going to work. None of it's going to work. It's all going to fail. Everything's going wrong. All right, we need optimists. Okay, so Barnabas is like that. People, emotional. Now, also we see a little bit of the Apostle Peter in this otter personality. And now, those of you who are highly analytical, do not get angry with me for putting some names with these identities. Because no, you are correct. They did not take this personality exam, and they did not give us their answers. Okay? But we're seeing from some character traits and some behaviors, some things that line up this way. The Apostle Peter, can I get anybody else in the Scripture that's more emotional or impulsive? Jesus is walking on water. He's like, "Hey, call me out to you." I wouldn't have had that thought. Would you? You might be an otter, okay? You're like, "Okay, I'm going to go do it too." Emotional, impulsive, that kind of a quick response there. Sensitive, people-oriented, optimistic, talkative, those kind of things. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I want you to understand that there's all sorts of people in the Scripture because there are all sorts of people on this planet. And they all belong on this planet. Don't believe the lie that says you don't belong here, okay? You belong here. God has placed you here for purposes and reasons. It's important to understand. How about golden retrievers? Any golden retrievers in the room? We already did this earlier, but that's fine. Golden retrievers. Now, don't get proud, but Moses probably fell into this category a little bit. Like, "Yeah, I'm like Moses." Mama's going, like, "Part the Red Sea." Okay, no. But that humble obedience that Moses walked in. He wasn't trying to lead the mission. He was just like obedient to God. "God, you want me to do this? Okay." There was nobody more humble than Moses. He just walked that way. He just behaved that way. Unflappable and reliable. I see that in the Apostle John as well, who just beside Jesus. The other Gospels had their agendas, and John had his agenda. He said, "I want you to just see this is the Son of God, and he loves us." Because John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? He's just by his side. He's just next to him. The inner circle, he's just there, that relationship. Exactly what we classify with that golden retriever, right? By my side, with me, faithful. I don't know if you've ever had a dog. Any dog lovers in the room? You can discipline a dog and then change your voice and the dog is totally fine with you again, right? "Bad dog, shame on you. Come here. Oh gosh, you know, I just come to this. Oh, I'm so glad that's over." Our dog disobeyed last week, and she did something stupid. Anyway, I moved her from the room there, and then I came back in. Oh, she told on herself. She ate some candy. She knocked over a candy jar and ate some candy, and she came upstairs like, well, another flag was there was a piece of candy in the wrapper in her mouth hanging out the side, like. And I was like, "What'd you do?" So she was in trouble, right? So I took her down to the candy jar that she had disrupted, and I sat down in amongst the candy jars, and I'm just talking mean to her, like, "Oh, you're such a bad dog. You don't get into this candy. This is not for you. Shame on you." And she's just like, "Oh." And then I let her go, and she just took off running, right? And I went and sat down on the couch upstairs, and she came back over to me, and she was like, "Are we okay? Are we okay now?" And I was like, "Are you apologizing?" And she like licks my hand. I'm like, "Are we okay?" And then I was like, "It's okay." And then she's like, "Okay, good." And she crawled up on my lap and sat down. Like, "Oh, I'm so glad that's over." Because that golden retriever, that sidekick personality, that loving, merciful, obedient, humble personality has to have that relationship. It's people-oriented. It's response-oriented. It's just how you're wired. And that's okay because I need a friend like that. I need friends like that, don't you? Don't you need friends that even when things go wrong, you just make it right and then now it's good and this is so good. I need that. I need that loyalty. I need that camaraderie, that companionship. I need that, and more than a dog can provide, okay? So, all right, so golden retrievers, we see those, Moses and John. Then the beavers in the room. Any beaver personality types in the room, okay? You're there? Yep, those are us. We've got Solomon. Especially in the book Song of Solomon, or not Song of Solomon, excuse me, no, that's not good. Especially in Ecclesiastes. Solomon late in life, a frustrated, pessimist, analytical Solomon, judging the whole world. Everything's meaningless. This is just all going down the tubes of pessimism just abounding. And you're all just going to, hey, have a good time, kids. Enjoy homecoming, because guess what? It's over now. Congratulations, okay? And hey, guess what? It's Monday. Go back to work, right? Like, that's just Solomon. Just blah. Just reality just pouring from his guts, right? I love Solomon. It's just ministers to my spirit. I don't know. It's just how I'm wired, right? I just get that. Just reality and truth and just in the face and just analyze things in details. That's just how he's wired. And he also happened to be the wisest man on earth, right? And the golden retrievers are like, whatever, you pessimists, right? Right? So Solomon, also the Gospel of Luke. Luke was the doctor, right? Why did he write this book? I wanted to give you an orderly account of this story of Jesus Christ. I wanted to organize this thing, and my wife's back there praising Jesus right now. Organization, hallelujah, right? So he wants to give us that organized look because that's how he's wired and it makes sense to him. There's going to be things that you're just drawn to do because it makes sense to you. And people next to you are going to go, what? But if God's put it on your heart, put that on your heart, then go for it. Come on, church, can we encourage people? If God's put something on your heart, then go for it. If God's wired you a certain way, then be that way. Be there. If God's given you a tendency to see the good in people, then capitalize on that and see the good in them and speak that out to them because they might be a Solomon that needs some encouragement. Right? They might be stuck in their own pessimistic bubble and they need some optimism. I worked for a pastor who was an eternal, painfully optimistic optimist. If you ever asked him if he wanted this or this, he'd say yes. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. You want apple pie, peach pie? Yes. Right? So the optimist, he's just always just insanely optimistic was the word he used about himself. I needed to be around that so I didn't just walk around with a cloud over my head all the time. I needed to be in some optimism. I needed to be around somebody like that so that it can draw that out of me because that's where I'm, because together we can have something that's legitimate. He takes everything, yes, 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 yes. And I'm like, but pastor, you can't be seven places at once. Realism comes back, right? Okay, we're going to need to pick which place we're actually going to do now. Okay, and then we go do that together. We complement. That's what the body of Christ does. We complement one another. And that's the point. That's what I'm trying to get to you, those blanks at the bottom there. That's what I want to share with you this morning. That's why we're doing this. Pastor, why do we spend a whole day talking about personalities? Ain't nothing in the Bible talking about that. No, because the point is to complement, not to classify. We're not classifying everybody into their cages so that we can put all the lions over here and all the otters over there. And we're not trying to organize everybody into their bins. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to identify ourselves and also make us more aware of others so that we can complement each other. So that where one person is struggling with something, somebody who's strong in that can come alongside them. That's what the body of Christ does. That's what that's how one part of the body ministers to the other. When part of you is ailing, the whole body feels it, right? And the whole body responds to that. The heart responds to pain in a certain part of the body. It's going to send blood there quickly because it needs help. We are to complement each other. That way. That's what the body of Christ does. Is this hitting home to anybody? Is this making sense to the church today? If we're a healthy, fully functioning body, we're going to complement each other. And where I'm strong, I can thrive. And where I'm weak, I will be supplemented by you. I'll be assisted in that process. Where I stink at something, if you're not a musical person and you just need some happy tunes in your life, somebody else that's musical can come alongside and whistle for you or something, right? They can bring some of that into your life. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, good thing somebody else can, right? If you can't see the positive in anything, then you need somebody to come alongside you and show you where something's going right. Otherwise, you will isolate yourself, and that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to classify and isolate. We're trying to complement one another, engage each other in this process. Because just as much as any of those four identities belong here, so do the other three. We all belong. We're all a part of this body, and we're all necessary in this body. We need one another. Look at the person across the table from you, and as seriously as you can, I know that's coming. There went the laughs already. I need you. Now look at somebody not at your table. This will be really challenging. Somebody not at your table. And let them know. Just give them a little nod that, you know, they need you. Just go ahead. Just eye contact somewhere. Right? We need each other. This body of Christ needs each other. I don't know. They're touching spirit fingers. Okay. I don't know where you're at personally today. If you've been sick and down recently, you understand this very well. Right? If you've been needing assistance in some way, you understand this really well. If you've helped somebody or done something complimentary or something helpful for somebody else, and you've experienced the euphoria, the joy of that feeling of doing something good for somebody, you understand this very well. But all of those good understandings only happen in relationship. If you are isolated, if you are not in relationship and communication with others, then you're having a hard time figuring out why this matters today. Because you're like, I'm doing my thing, Pastor, and it's no big deal, whatever. I don't have anybody else like that in my life. Well, because you need to be in a relationship. You're designed for it. If you weren't supposed to be in a relationship, God wouldn't have designed you, because instantly you are in a relationship with your Creator. If I stand close enough to Harold, guess what? We are now in a relationship, right? He's like, get off my arm, Pastor, right? But if we make eye contact, if we have any word, that's a relationship. We are relating to one another. We are designed for that. We are built for that, because as I relate with the people around them, I show them the glory of God in me. I reveal the nature, the goodness, the wonderful love and presence of God that God has invested in me. And when I do that, now I'm fulfilling my purpose. No matter what my passion or hobbies or tasks or jobs might be. You have tasks, you have jobs, you have careers, you have obligations, you've got stuff to do that fills your days, right? Some of that fulfills you, some of it just has to be done, right? It's important that you recognize what those things are that fulfill you so you can do them, because if you're running around on empty, you're not fulfilling the glory of God. You're not shining the glory of God, because God is never empty. God is full of life and full of love and full of good things. And so find what fulfills you and then do that, and recognize that whatever it is that we're all doing side by side in each experience and in each situation and each personality and heart and ability and all this that God's designed us to be, what we're doing is we are pointing people to God. That's our purpose. If I was the very best on planet Earth at something, it would not be so that I could get the credit for it. It would be so that I could reflect the glory of God through that. Does that make sense? If you're the very best thrower of the football that the world has ever seen, it's not just so that you can get rich, but it's so that people will say, wow, you're really good at that. And you say, you know what? Praise God. God has made me good at something. It's so that He gets the glory. And so what that does, what we talked about on Wednesday night, and that's what we'll close up right now, is wherever you're at, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, recognize that God has purpose in it. That you are going to find that fulfillment and joy in the processes of life and the things that you're connected with. It's going to be in relationship to other people. And out of that relationship to other people, you're going to show the glory of God. They're going to look at you and they're going to recognize God. Pastor, you don't know me very well. No, I do. I know what God can do through anybody. They're going to look at you, Becca, and they're going to see God's goodness. They're going to look at you, James, and they're going to see God's goodness. They're going to look at each one of us, and they're going to see what God is doing in Independence. And they can trust and believe that because they're going to see it over and over and over again. Amen, church? Father, I pray that you would lead us this week. Help us to be aware of our surroundings and our situations, the opportunities that you're placing us in. This isn't studying for a test that will happen someday far away. This is constant and daily opportunity that you place us in. Each breath is a fresh gift from you that positions us near people who need to know who you are and what you're all about. We're not just going to work on Monday. We're going to engage people for your glory. We're going to thrive at what it is we're good at or what we're talented or what we have an aptitude for, and we're going to tell people that you're good because of it. We're going to thrive in our personalities and the way you've designed us, not frustrate it and not argue over it. We're going to thrive in it because you've made us that way for a reason, to be a compliment and a blessing to somebody else. Not just once in our life, but on a daily basis. Speak through your people. Let your kingdom come through us. God, let your will be done through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.